In this demo, Peter Myers is going to show us an end-to-end solution built on Microsoft Business Intelligence technologies that delivers information to decision makers.
Here in SQL Server Management Studio, I've connected to the database engine, and when we explore the databases, we see we have the two AdventureWorks sample databases representing the OLTP environment and the data warehouse. So when we explore the tables of the OLTP database, in fact, we note that there are multiple schemas inside this database. We have human resources, we have tables here for people, production, and so on. In reality, we would expect that these would be different databases, different data sources. And in order to implement reporting and analytics across these data sources, we're typically going to integrate them into a single store like a data warehouse. And when we explore the structure of the data warehouse, we see that we have tables prefixed with DIM and FACT. Very strong indication here that we have a star schema dimensional model that is there to support reporting and analytics. So the process of extracting and then transforming and loading data from our different data sources into this data warehouse can be achieved with integration services. So before me here in SQL Server Business Intelligence Development Studio, I have an integration services package design that is here to populate my FACT sales quota table. So a quick glance at the source data. It so happens that the sales quotas come from a system that delivers CSV files of the quota data. And a quick glance at the data shows us that it's in a structure like this. We have employee and the four quarters for the 2008 calendar year. And this is what the data looks like in comma separated value format. So the package that I have here uses an execute SQL task to go ahead and delete the existing quotas for the current year, which is 2008. And then it uses this data flow task. And if we explore the configuration of this task, it's responsible for extracting from that CSV file using an unpivot transformation to bring those quarters from the columns down to a row column, using a derived column to implement some date calculations, a lookup here to look up the surrogate key of the employee in the employee dimension table, and then a destination to load the data directly into the FACT table. So let's go ahead and execute that package. And this is typical of what we would do periodically to update the data in our dimension tables and load new data into our FACT tables. So once we have this populated data warehouse, we're in a position to start reporting from it. So in my reporting project here, I have a data source that connects to the data warehouse, and my salesperson summary report uses that data source and a data set here to retrieve these fields that can be used in the report design. So when I switch across to preview, this particular report design then prompts me for a year. And then it produces this summary by employee and their sales achieved by quarter, and includes this trend here with the spark line. It also includes the capability to drill through. So if I want more detail about Michael Blythe, I can switch to the sales detail report, and I could see graphical representation with a chart, and also a further breakdown down here by month and then by product categories. Now, a problem with doing this type of summary report off a relational system is that Michael Blythe may well have sold millions of orders in the year 2007, and so it's a lot to ask the database server to aggregate that volume of data to produce a quick response that then can be reported from. So the approach that we'll take is that we'll go ahead and we'll build a cube. So in my sales analysis project, which is an analysis services project, I have the reseller sales cube. And it allows us to build up this structure that represents measures from both the reseller sales fact table and the sales quota fact table. And it's a simplistic cube. It includes the dimensions of date, product, and salespeople. And then I've extended beyond the base data that my star schema delivers to introduce calculations like sales variance and sales variance percent and profitability, and also year-to-date calculations, all defined with MDX within the cube. And then here on the KPIs tab, I have a sales performance KPI that brings together a value goal and status and trend definitions that allow me then to deliver performance management from this cube. So an ideal way to deliver cube browsing is simply through Excel. And so here I have an Excel workbook, and my demonstration will go ahead and insert a pivot table. And I'm going to use my connection to that reseller sales cube. And then what Excel presents to me is a field list that exposes all of the measures and the dimension hierarchies. So the demonstration I'll provide for you here is I'm going to use that sales performance KPI and introduce the value, goal, status, and trend. And note the way that Excel honors the definition from the cube with its own conditional formatting to provide status and trend indicators. From my salesperson dimension, let me introduce the salesperson hierarchy onto the rows. And then I'll introduce the calendar hierarchy from my date dimension to allow me to slice by a particular date period, for example, quarter one of 2007. And so we've got this very quick way to produce query results and reporting direct in Excel. It's highly interactive, so I can drill down to explore within the group and the region to see the individual salespeople's. And perhaps here, Pamela's well off track, and I could easily identify that. Now, Excel is one approach to reporting off the cube. The other approach is that we can use reporting services. So if I return to the reporting services project, I also have a data connection here that connects to the sales analysis database and the cube in that database. And my salesperson performance report here does just that. Its data source uses the sales analysis data source. It generates a data set in MDX for me, and then I can use the same layout capabilities that I did for relational reporting to report directly off the cube. And the benefit here is that I have high performance results coming back from the cube and the richness of reporting services rendering that for me. And note the way that I've used the status indicators to convey the status and trend of the KPIs here broken down by the employee. Now, when it comes to delivering performance management, Performance Point Services, this is very much its forte. So what I've already deployed here is a dashboard in SharePoint that brings together a filter, and here I am filtering off the first quarter of 2007. I have a scorecard that is implementing my sales performance KPI, and so you can note here I could drill down through the hierarchy on the scorecard, and I could say, well, show me what's going on within North America. And here we see at region level, down to region level, I can then click and say, well, there's Pamela, who's 75% off target. And when I select Pamela, the link here updates this corresponding analytic grid report. And it shows me a breakdown then by category of what Pamela has sold. Now, this is highly interactive when you start to build these scorecards and reports directly off cubes. So I can right-click here, and this is all within a web browser experience. I can go ahead and say, well, show me what that looks like from a point of view of a pie chart. And then we can hover over the slices of the pie. And we can begin to explore. Let me right-click this slice, and let me drill down to, at product level, what the subcategory breakdown was. And we can see that Pamela's only been selling mountain bikes, and perhaps that's the problem. Well, let's switch this back to the grid, and we can start to introduce additional measures. And so the calculations from the cube can come in. And so then I can say, well, show me also what the gross profit margin and gross profit margin percent both are. And let's explore down the hierarchy to see the individual bikes, and so on. Let me switch back to SQL Server Business Intelligence Development Studio, because there's something else I'd like to show you in the Analysis Services project, and that is that Analysis Services supports two components, both cubes and data mining. And so I have a data mining model here called Basket Analysis, and what I've done is I've processed a model using the sales history in the AdventureWorks data warehouse to surface patterns about what models are purchased together. And so having processed this, we can see here in the mining model viewer that my rules are displayed in descending order of probability. In fact, let me do them in descending order of importance. And it's discovered some interesting rules here that could be of interest to us in the way that we suggest or cross-sell products. The dependency network is an effective way of viewing this too. So for example, the selection of the Mountain 200, I get to see the strongly related other models, and as I slide down here, the weaker suggestions drop off, and at this point I can appreciate that the three strongest associated models with this Mountain 200 are the Mountain Tire, Fender Set, and the Mountain Bottle Cage. So data mining is a way of surfacing patterns within the volumes of data you have to deliver better insight. The visualizations that you see here can be embedded directly into Windows applications, or they may be queried directly and used within your own application experience. So the final part of this demonstration is going to explore the self-service business intelligence capabilities. So switching back to reporting services, what I have before me here is Report Builder 3. This can be delivered as a click-once application, so the user can request it to be downloaded and installed on their client, or it may be installed directly for them by an administrator. And the Getting Started dialog box here is prompting me to create a new report using the wizards for table or matrix, chart, matrix, or perhaps just a blank report. In this demonstration, I'm going to create a matrix, and I have the ability to browse to the server and request data sets that have been pre-published. And so the ease of building reports now in Report Builder 3.0 is that there could already be data sets defined for me. There could even be report parts that I will demonstrate to ease quicken up the building of my report. So the layout here, let's put the salesperson name on the rows, the calendar year and quarter on the columns, and the sales amount on the values. I'll allow expand and collapse, and I'll stick with the ocean theme. And as quickly as that, I can build up my report. I'll put my title in here, salesperson summary. Note here in my report data pane that it is referencing a shared data set. So all I needed to do was make that data set look good, and the wizard already helped me do that by configuring this Tablex. Now, to introduce other report parts, so pre-published parts that I can then reuse in this report design, on my Insert Ribbon tab, I can open up the Report Part Gallery. And already it's telling me that there are these report parts available for use in my report design. So the AdventureWorks logo, something that by company policy should be used consistently on all reports, I can simply drag and drop it into this report design. And likewise, the parameter for year here. I already have a parameter for year, but that's a generic parameter that was introduced because this data set is aware that it needs one. So I simply go ahead and delete this parameter and introduce this parameter by double-clicking. And notice the addition of the supporting data set that delivers the available values for this parameter. And so now when I switch to the Home Ribbon tab, I can preview this report, and with some ease, within a matter of, 1 minute, I'm able to build up a rich report that has this parameter with available values that reuses a data set available from the server, presents drill down capabilities within year to quarter, and also reuses the AdventureWorks logo. So the last part of this demonstration, and still in the category of self-service business intelligence, is where we return to Excel. And what I had before me here is an Excel workbook that already contains a report based on a pivot table, and it uses slices, so year, quarter, and country, of visual filters that allow me to slice the data that I see in this report. So what we see on the right-hand side is that the Power Pivot field list. This is a different experience to the regular pivot table. And let me switch to the Power Pivot tab and launch the Power Pivot window to show you that in the background, the user here has gone ahead and imported data. And we can see here in the Get External Data section of the ribbon that data could be imported from different Microsoft SQL database products, from data feeds, from text files, even from reporting services reports. And this is an environment that allows end users themselves to bring in data from other stores and to produce this in-memory cube that will perform very, very well, even for extremely large volumes of data. So they can introduce tables from different sources, relate those tables, extend the table definitions with new calculated columns, and then they can go ahead and use this as a data source upon which they can build pivot table, pivot chart reports. And where this finishes up with SharePoint 2010 Enterprise Edition, and the SQL Server 2008 R2 add-in with PowerPivot for analysis services. Essentially, the workbook can be deployed to SharePoint, and the PowerPivot model is then available for reporting from within the workbook and external reports and Excel workbooks can connect to this workbook and consume this model. And beyond that, the user can configure refresh policies that ensure that the data that the PowerPivot model needs can be refreshed on a recurring frequency.